Psalm 119, 105. I'm not going to ask you to turn there because I'm also going to read another Psalm 116, 6. But if you'll go to Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 116, verse 6 says, The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. The Lord preserveth the simple. His word's a light unto my path. I was brought low, and He helped me. Boy, what a blessing. I'm about to cry just thinking about that. Amen, amen. Simplicity, the definition, I looked it up. And it said, that which is in its purest form. That which is in its purest form. Simple. So today I want to call the message, Keep It Simple, Saint. I know y'all like to say keep it simple, stupid, but you're not stupid, you're a saint. And I know some of you would like for me to say keep it short sermon, but simplicity, that which is in its purest form. I've had people tell me, say, Brother Ron, you're too simple-minded. I've had preachers accuse me of telling too many stories in my preaching. They say it's just too simple. You need to be deeper thinker. Well, my Bible says that the Lord preserveth the simple. And I'd rather be simple and be preserved than be complicated and burn. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was brought low, and He helped me. You have to get pretty simple to realize how low you really are. Because without being simple-minded, you're not ever going to figure out that you're the problem, not everybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. Always trying to figure out what the problem is. Well, I know what the problem is, and I know what the problem has been all my life. Me.
Amen.
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 Y'all supposed to say, oh me, that's, I'm talking about you too, okay? All of you pointing at me. You're supposed to say, oh me, it's you too. Amen. But simplicity is the Word of God. And people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Well, if you'll get simple-minded, you can understand it. If you quit trying to read things in there that don't exist and just read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, not figuring it out. God will give you what He wants you to know, and later on down the road, He'll give you a little more and a little more and a little more, and 10 years from now, you'll look back and say, oh, now I know what that meant back there. Simple-minded. It was a simple book. A blind man asked Jesus for sight. He got it. Pretty simple. A crippled man asked Jesus, could he walk? He got it. Pretty simple. An unclean woman asked to be made clean. She got it. Pretty simple. A harlot asked to be made pure. She got it. Pretty simple. A woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. Pretty simple. Got well. Amen. A woman with a dead daughter asked the Lord to raise her, and her daughter was raised again. Two sisters with a dead brother asked the Lord to do something, and he got his life back. Pretty simple. No incantations. No formulas. No figure this out. It was just ask and receive. Believe and be saved, and not only that, believe and be preserved. Amen? So, the Bible is pretty simple. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, if you will. In verse 5 in Matthew chapter 6, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Right then, he meant right then. That's their reward. That was it. People saw him. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. You know what that is? You're calling that deacon to pray or that usher to pray when they're taking up the offering. They haven't prayed all week. And they go through this long incantation, you know, with big words. No, he said, don't do that. As the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of, before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Today. He didn't say give us a month. Today. And forgive us our debts if we forgave our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Prayer is pretty simple. They didn't say pray that prayer every time you prayed. That's a model prayer. That's an outline. Lord God, Heavenly Father, hey, you're the one and only Most High God. We know you got the power. We know you can do anything. And but Lord, forgive us. We've trespassed, and help us to forgive others. And it's nothing hard. It's not a formula. I'm preaching on Wednesday nights on prayer, starting this past Wednesday night, and I've got four more sermons to do just on prayer for the next four Wednesday nights. And I hope you come. I wish you'd be here to shock you on some things. But prayer is pretty simple. It's a child asking the Father for what they need. It's a child recognizing the greatness of their Father. Amen. And it's like that little grandkid looking up at you and saying, Papa, you're the strongest man in the world. They don't know what I'm talking about. But Papa, you're the strongest man in the world. And Mama, you're the most beautiful woman in town. And they just go on because they're honoring you. And that's why we look up to God as our Heavenly Father and honor Him. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. I've heard sermons on 12 steps to get answered prayer, 7 steps on how to pray, and then some are so lazy they just repeat this prayer over and over. But it's pretty simple. Dr. John R. Rice, one of my heroes in heaven now, he said prayer is like this, asking and receiving. That's it. Simple. Not only that, but look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Ron, you're too simple-minded. Did you see the Herald this morning? 90-something churches in South Carolina closed this past year. And one of the guys from the convention said this. He said, you got to have your lights right. You got to have your stage right. You got to have your band right and all this stuff, you know. We had church before they had lights. We had church before they had a band. We had church before they had a stage. Amen? We had church. And they're wringing their hands. They can't figure out why the churches are dying and people are leaving and the doors are closing, all this stuff. And I thought, it's pretty simple. You made it complicated. That's the problem. Amen? It's pretty simple. We go to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor Him. We pray to Him. We give to Him. We work for Him. We sing for Him. We preach for Him. We pray for Him. Got nothing to do with us. It's all about Him. And they've left Him and went to them. See? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Billy said, I need to call the paper, get them to come out here and talk to me like they did about the King James Bible. I think I'll just write a letter and send it to them. Put your picture on it. Amen. So let me call your house. I need your phone number. But it's pretty simple. Prayer is simple. Did you know preaching is simple?
Yes.
Preaching. Boy, people make preaching so complicated. I'll never forget, we had this little boy. We took kids to camp, summer camp. We're talking about kids up to like 12 years old, you know, down to 8 to 12 or something like that. And some of the wildest kids. We got a few of them in here today. There's one back there with blonde hair sitting next to Billy. And we took all kind of kids, and we had a good time. And I preached to those kids just like I preached to you. And did you know some of them got saved? A lot of them got saved. Some of them got right with God. Just one little boy, later on they changed his name to Convict. That's what they called him, Convict at camp. You know how bad he was. And he said he got saved, and then a couple of days later he said he wanted to be a preacher. He wanted to preach. I said, well, what can it hurt? You know, you're preaching to a bunch of kids, a kid preaching to kids. So he got up there and he said, y'all need to quit smoking them cigarettes. Y'all need to quit drinking that liquor. Y'all need to quit, 8 to 12 year olds. Y'all need to quit going down there to that pool hall. And when he got through, he asked me, he said, how'd I do? I said, you preached a good sermon, just had the wrong crowd. You should have been preaching, quit sticking the bubble gum on the bottom of your desk. That kid ain't ever drank no liquor. They don't know what a pool hall looks like. Just because you've been in them don't mean all of them. But preaching is pretty simple. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I better get over there myself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 3, if you will. He said, that ain't my verse. 1 Thessalonians. Well, it was good, whatever it was. Well, y'all got to forgive me. I wrote down the wrong scripture. But preaching's good. The Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to those who, for those who believe. Now, preaching just means exhorting, crying out, cry aloud, spare not, show my people their sins. And listen, it's all about Him. Look, I can tell you to quit drinking liquor. You can quit drinking liquor, still go to hell. Ron, if you find it, holler at me. I got the wrong scripture. He's over here looking for it. 2 Thessalonians. Amen. Is it chapter 2? Verse 3? 2 Thessalonians. Good to have a preacher on the front. There it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come and fall away first, that the man of sin be revealed, who opposes and all exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And know ye not what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And verse 5 says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Preaching is simply taking a Bible and preaching the Word of God. It's not a theological exhortation. It's not a theological, I don't know the words to use, theses. It's not a book report. Preaching is cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice, show my people their sins. But it's all about Jesus. See, preaching is not about you. That shocked some of you, didn't it? It's not about you. Now, if you get it, you'll thank God you got it. But it's not about you, it's about Him. Amen? A lot of times people go out here and say, well, preacher, you still stepped on my feet today. I failed. I was aiming at your heart with Him.
Amen.
See, preaching simple. Just glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift Him up. Amen? Lift Him up. And then compare Him to everything else, and then people will see their sins. You know, I never heard a sermon against smoking cigarettes, but I got convicted and quit smoking cigarettes. You know, I never heard a sermon against long hair, and I had long hair when I got saved, but I went and got a matter of fact, I had to get two before I started feeling better about myself. Somewhere I read in there, you know, in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, know you not that does not even nature itself teach it if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. It didn't say sin, it says shame. And I know you're going to talk about people in the Bible that had long hair, but I'm just telling you, nobody preached against long hair. I wanted to look right. I wanted to dress right. I never heard a sermon against cussing. I just found out I had a new tongue. I wasn't cussing. Amen. And never heard a sermon against stealing. I just didn't want to steal. And God, through the preaching of His Son, changes your mind and your heart and your spirit. And it's all about you through Him, not Him through you, but you through Him. It all comes back to Him. It's that simple. Preaching without Him is useless preaching. Preaching without Him is unbiblical preaching. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Amen. Now, it's simple. Prayer is simple. Preaching is simple. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Ron, can you teach me how to preach? I said, it's pretty easy. Get up, read a scripture, and start hollering. Read another one, holler some more. Read another one, holler some more. Read another one, holler some more. Preaching ain't nothing but reading and hollering, amen? But it's empowered by the Holy Ghost if you put Him in it, see? There's a lot of good speakers that do nothing for you because Jesus is not in it, see? Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and unto finisher of our faith. It's all about Him. And a sermon without Jesus is, listen, far as Christianity goes, is useless. It might make you work better. It might make you be a better citizen. But that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about Jesus, see. We're called Christians because we're followers of Christ. Amen? And we want to please Him. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. I hope I have the right verse. If you ever go spend 3 days with your grandchildren, 2 nights without sleep, you'll know what happened. 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, if you will. Now, in 2 Corinthians, now, I want you to notice this. The Apostle Paul is not writing to the church at Corinth to tell them how great a church they are. That's not what Corinthians is about. The book of Corinthians is about the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, writing to the people through his book he was writing, writing to the people of Corinth to straighten them out.
Amen.
They'd settled into things they shouldn't be doing. And so if you want to have a church, you don't base your church doctrines on the book of Corinth because he was straightening theirs out. But the verses in there are good. Look at this one. And we all need straightening out sometime. Look at verse 12.
Thank you, Lord.
2 Corinthians. You there yet? Chapter 1. Okay. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this. The testimony of our conscience. He said this is what we can say. Him talking about himself. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. That's an old English word, which all means everything about your life, your lifestyle. We've had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Ward. You know what he's saying? Our conduct. It's pretty simple how to be a Christian, how to conduct yourself. I mean, it's Christian. People make the Christian life complicated on how we live. Amen. Now, some legalists will add things to it. They'll say, well, you got to get saved in our church to be saved. You got to get baptized in this denomination to be baptized. You got to take part in the Lord's Supper in this denomination to be baptized. You got to go through confirmation. You got to go through a special class, or you got to speak in some unknown language to be sure you're going to heaven. You got to live this way or live that way. Well, the Apostle Paul says it's pretty simple. You all saw our conduct and we were your example. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then live a simple Christian life. That's all it is. It's simple. Abstain from evil. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
The Christian life's not complicated. We don't have to argue about drinking liquor. You already know better than that. We don't have to argue about committing adultery. You already know better than that. We We don't have to argue about homosexuality. You already know better than that. Come on, help me here. It's pretty simple. We don't have to preach 6 reasons against this and 12 reasons against that. The Apostle Paul said, I was with you and I behaved myself. And it's pretty simple. Our conduct declares our faith. It's simple. If somebody has to ask you, are you a Christian? There might be something wrong. But if somebody comes up to you and says, you're a Christian, aren't you? Or if they ask that in a form of compliment, are you a Christian? You know, like that. But if they come up and say, are you a Christian? If he's a Christian, the woods is full of them. You ever heard that one? Well, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. You ever heard that one? Look, if we have to carry a sign or wear a t-shirt or a ball cap that says we're a Christian to show people we're a Christian, that's not real simple. Now, you got mad at me on the t-shirt deal, didn't you? I'm not against your t-shirt. I'm just telling you, if that's your only testimony, you're in trouble. Hey, our Christian conduct is a simple lifestyle. If you was here Wednesday night, you'd see where he told them it's not the adorning of hair or putting on of costly apparel or fine jewelry and all that. And he was talking about women just being simple women. Of course, now that means men too. I mean, I think they sell more earrings to men now than they do women. By the way, if you was one of my boys, you wouldn't have no earring. You'd have a big old hole right there if you ever come. I'd rip it right down through there. And I run up on this young preacher one day at a funeral. And after the funeral, he came up to me and he said, Brother Ron, I want you to know that you've always been one of my heroes. And I'm standing there looking at him. He's done shaved his head and grew a little billy goat. And he's got a big old gold earring, and I'm going to call him Mr. Clean. And I didn't say nothing to him, so he said, oh, I see you noticed my earring. Yeah. I said, you did. He said, yeah, some of the brethren don't like it. I bet there's some that do. He said, well, I've been thinking about taking it out. I said, I can fix that for you. Christian conduct is pretty obvious. Unchristian conduct is pretty obvious. Holiness is pretty obvious. Unholiness is pretty obvious. There are very few gray lines. It's pretty well, easily, obviously seen what is right and what is wrong. And if you've got to argue over it, it's usually because you are wrong. It's simple. The Christian life is simple.
Amen.
Be born again.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You'll get a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new tongue, a new attitude. You'll start behaving different. You'll start dressing different. You'll start talking different. And you won't even know you've done it till one day somebody comes up to you and says, man, there's something different about you. Are you a Christian? Pretty simple, is it not? And the newspaper wants to come out and says, we just can't understand why people are leaving the church. Well, when you can't tell the difference between the pastor and a rock and roll DJ, there's a problem. Amen? It's pretty simple. I can fix it. We can fix it. Amen? We can fix it. When you can't tell the difference between the Christian choir music and the dance hall music, it's pretty obvious. Amen? 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 Simple. We got a simple faith. Brother Ron, you're too simple, man. Yes, I am. And God loves me this way. Leave me alone. Why do you want to complicate things? Amen. People just want to make things complicated in order to get around their little pet sin. That's all it is.
Come on, Daddy. Yeah.
Okay, here you go, Brother Ron. You done made everybody mad. Romans 12:8. Romans 12:8. If I didn't, I will. I don't mean to. Romans 12:8 is pretty simple. Amen. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Romans 12:8 says this. He's talking about the people in the church and their ministries. And he talks about the ministering and the teaching. And then he gets to verse 8. He talks about exhortation. He that exhorteth on exhortation. And here's one you never hear anything about. He that giveth, let him get, do it with what? Now, I put that in there because I looked up all the things that the Bible talked about being simple. Now, it said giving is simple. Maybe I ought to. I don't. Maybe I shouldn't. I've never devoted a whole sermon on giving to God. Maybe I ought to. I got quiet on that. I thought somebody would say amen. A lot of old me's. I hear them. Oh, here it comes. There, that Bonham Baptist Church. Here it comes. But you know, it's pretty simple. You gave Jesus your heart. You gave him your mind. You gave him your eternity. Why don't you just give him everything?
Amen.
Come on. You know, I got a house. It don't belong to me. It belongs to God. I have automobiles. They belong to God. I've got a little money. It belongs to God. When you got saved, you know what? Everything belongs to Him. Why? How can we separate the giving from the praying and the giving from the preaching and the giving from the faithfulness and the giving from the witnessing? How can we separate? It's all. Every bit of it's Him. I've heard preachers say, you know, God will do you like Ananias and Sapphira. He'll drop you dead. I think that's for that purpose at that moment. But I don't think that would even do any good now, because we'd rush you off to the hospital and Selena's husband would say you had a heart attack, you died of natural causes. And we wouldn't know any difference. We don't know. Maybe God did it, maybe He didn't. But I can tell you this, God loveth the cheerful giver. Look, when I get my little 10%, I say, amen, glory to God, I got something to give. I remember when I didn't have anything to give. Amen. I remember when at my house a dollar was a luxury. We'd search for money in the back of the couch and in the back of the car seats, you know. And eating out was bologna and cheese at Cherry Park. Come on. It's not hard. Just get saved and give Him your heart and give Him your mind and give Him your body and give Him your spirit and give Him your house and give Him your possessions and give Him your pocketbook, and it won't hurt a bit. See, the problem is, a lot of folks, you've given your pocketbook to that new 51-inch screen TV. You gave your pocketbook to that new car. I better go on. It's pretty simple. He gave, give it back. Amen. Look at Romans 16:19. I'm not preaching this whole sermon. I don't have time. But verse 16:19. I said prayer's simple. Preaching is simple. Our conduct is simple. Our giving is simple. I want you to notice this in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 19 of Romans. He said, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Somebody's noticed. People's noticed. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you, look at this, wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, the wise for the good means I know I've got biblical wisdom of what is good. I've got biblical wisdom. And that's given me some experience. But the simple is I don't know everything about evil. I know what evil is, but I don't know everything about it. You know why? I'm not practicing evil. Sometimes people come out with some kind of new drug or new sin or new excitement, and they'll talk to me about it. I say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. But I know it's evil. Now, I'm wise about good. I've experienced a lot of the goodness of God. And because of that, people, he says, take notice Because you're wise about the good things of God. But they've also noticed you're simple about evil things. Now, evil is sin that hurts other people.
Yeah, come on
now. There's sins that don't hurt anybody but you. There are sins that you sin against God, not praying, not giving, not doing things that you do against God, or not doing something you ought to do when you know it's right. That's sin against God. But then there's evil, and evil is when you sin, and that sin involves hurting people. And I don't think Christians know much about that anymore. We knew that before we were saved. But now He's given us wisdom in good things. And we don't even think in those evil areas anymore. You ever thought about that? Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us and we have the mind of Christ and we don't want to hurt anybody anymore. I've had enemies. You've had enemies. You probably still got some, whether you know it or not. And those people, they don't just not want good for you. They want evil for you. They want to see you hurt. They want to see you cry. They want to see you experience pain and heartache. They want to see that. That's evil. That's evil. I've had Christians do that to me. They said they're Christians. But usually a Christian is like he said in the first part of that, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I think our testimony is pretty simple. We love good and we hate evil. Now you just stop right here and listen to me. It's not very late yet. The Presbyterians hadn't even said goodbye. You listen to me. Evil doesn't... You don't just wake up one morning and be evil and want to do evil. It slips up on you. It slips up on you by compromise. Now you listen, my daughter Becky told me this morning they had a special speaker at the school district and he was all about being culturally correct and all this stuff. And that's code words for accepting evil is what it is. That's code words for accepting evil. It doesn't matter what they say about Christians or what they do to Christians or how they persecute or belittle or go against Christians. They're more about those other people that are not Christians who are against Christ. They may go to work every day and pay their bills, but they're against Christ. And because they're against Christ, they're against you. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. He said, they kill me, they'll kill you. But yet, in our churches, it's crept in that this is more complicated than it looks like. And we're supposed to accept people for the way they are. Well, God didn't accept you the way you were.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, man.
Yeah. He made you into a new creature.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Well, we're supposed to... Now you've accepted people the way they are. Now you have to, first it was tolerate. And I'm not just talking about homosexual lifestyle. I'm talking about everything, sin of any kind. Well, you can't judge him because he's an adulterer. Well, I don't have to judge him. The Bible's already done that. Well, you can't judge her because she's a drug addict and she abuses her children. Well, I don't have to. The Bible's already judged that. So I don't have to accept it. And then I don't have to tolerate it. In my circles as a preacher, well, you got to tolerate this guy even though he doesn't believe the Bible to be inspired and infallible. No, I don't have to accept that. That's evil. He's destroying the faith of people. I don't have to accept that.
Come on.
Well, you've got to tolerate the Muslim, and now you got to accept the Muslim, and now you have to celebrate him being a Muslim, even though you're not a Muslim. No, I don't. Now, our testimony should be your obedience is come abroad unto all men.
Our testimony is pretty simple. We're peculiar people. We are different. We don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate... Christians didn't hate me when I was in sin, and I don't hate sinners. I hate the position that they're in. Now, I'd love to see them delivered from that like He delivered some of us. I don't hate them. But I'm not going to accept your sin.
Amen.
If you're a heroin addict, Brother Billy, you can come to church, but I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to try to change that.
Amen.
That's my calling, is to do that. Well, you have to celebrate this poor little old teenage girl who somebody has convinced that she's really a boy on the inside. No, I don't. It's going to ruin the rest of her life. She's going to be tormented and tortured inside more than anywhere else. And some parent has allowed that to happen. Some preachers allowed that to happen. Some doctors encouraged it to get the money to do things. But I've got news for you. Our reputation abroad by everybody ought to be that we're holy people and we're peculiar people, but we're loving people. I'm not carrying a sign against anybody. I'm not marching against anybody. I'll do my marching in the prayer closet.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm not beating anybody up. I don't even want to hurt people's feelings. I want to see everybody come to the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. If I don't, then I'm a traitor to the Christian cause. And then I'm contributing to evil because people are getting hurt because I've compromised on that. I won't hurt anybody. I've been hurt. It don't feel good. There's people in here today that's been trampled on and stomped and abused and everything else. And they don't need me to beat them up. They need me to lift them up. And they don't want me to tolerate evil in them or anybody else because they've met evil.
Amen.
And if you think there's not evil people in this world that wouldn't destroy you and your church and your home, you're hiding under a bush somewhere.
Amen.
It's pretty simple. Prayer will save. Prayer will heal. Prayer will deliver. Preaching leads people to Christ, and it teaches the Bible. Our conduct shows who we are. Our giving is honoring God, and the way we live should be known abroad. Pretty simple. Our testimony should be they're a sinner. They love sinners, but they don't put up with it. The blind man, the Lord said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to see." He said, "Thy faith has healed thee." A crippled man, he said, the Lord said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to be whole." He said, "Thy faith has healed thee. Get up and walk." An unclean woman said, "Evermore, give me some of this to drink." He said, "I am the water. Drink of me, you'll never thirst again." The woman with the issue of blood just touched him. Just touched the hem of his garment and was immediately healed. Pretty simple. We're not complicated people. The love of Christ constraineth us, yes. But it also compels us. I know our church has got a reputation. I know it does. And I hope it's this. You know, it's pretty simple down there at Cornerstone Baptist Church. They love Jesus. They live right. And they love sinners. Pretty simple. Amen. I hope this week somebody looks at you and say, you know, you're pretty simple-minded. While they argue about politics and sexual genders and all this stuff, they look at you and they say, well, you're pretty simple-minded. Say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's one way. There's one truth. There's one door. There's only one Savior. Amen. There's one faith. There's one baptism. That's it. I'm pretty simple-minded. But didn't we all used to be that way? If you're not saved today, it's pretty simple. You quote it. Matthew 12:30. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not for me scattereth abroad."
Amen.
So here's the simple picture. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. There's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're lost.
You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You make the choice. And if you're going to heaven, you'll take people with you. And if you're going to hell, you'll take people with you. So how simple is that today? Do you know where you stand? Let's stand. Father, if there's one among us today...